Blog Talk Radio.
My friends, ladies and gentlemen, and you of all faiths and ideas and opinions and thought streams, I welcome you to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening, usually at 8 o'clock, sometimes at 9:30, other times at 10 or 11, and even in the afternoon. And tonight I will be talking about, usually I preface these shows, little insights about myself, not that I think myself that great, but I do. Tonight I'm going to talk, we talk about in this show about literature, we talk about politics, we talk about current events, we talk about biblical revelation, we talk about theology, we talk about all kinds of things that are important to me and should be important to most people. However, tonight I'm going to be talking about the failings and positives about American culture. American culture is problematical these days. There's a time when poets such as Shelley, Byron, Tennyson, and Browning had a wide audience in the English-speaking world. Also, John Stuart Mill, an English 19th-century philosopher, had a wide-ranging intellectual impact on the English-speaking world, and even in the House of Commons at one point. In short, you might say that the preeminent concern was not money, culturally, but writers, poets, and philosophers were generated great respect and had a great public following. So in that time, in the 19th century and early 20th century, poets, writers, and philosophers gained great respect and a wide public following. And even in the 20th century, until very recently, philosophers such as John Dewey and Bertrand Russell had a great public impact. These people, these philosophers, these poets, these writers were the celebrities of their time. Before television, I might say, they were the celebrities. Not so anymore. It's apparent that times have substantially altered in this respect, and one may wonder if that has been good. This alteration that people such as Dewey and Russell and Mill and Tennyson and Browning and Byron and Shelley are either not known about or not read or not paid attention to. Things have changed. These people, they were celebrities of their time and they were the people that generated respect. American society really sits on a pedestal, really. Is what we seem to be concerned with is the wealthy, the rich, and the famous. For some time, it's been now compounded into the psyches and minds of the American public that persons with wealth, notoriety, and celebrity are the ones to whom we should look up to. That seems to be the lodestar. It's been some time, it's compounded into the minds through television, internet, computers, movies, and been pounded into the minds of the American public that persons with wealth, notoriety, and celebrity fame are the ones we should look up to. And you would note, if you look at People magazine or the movies or television, that images of the rich and famous are constantly flashed for us by way of television image, computer image, and the movie screen. So you might say that the American public has been propagandized or convinced into believing that the rich and famous are the persons to be admired and respected. This is absurd, of course. Money is a tool, something that we can do some good with, that we can create some great work product with, whether poems or artists or whatever. And we have been propagandized into believing that the rich and famous are the persons to be admired and respected. This is absurd, and it's very disturbing to me that in our society, little respect is given to intellectual activity, whether scientific or otherwise, and the American people have been told for some time to respect money and material success. So this is the lodestar. This is what people are told to look up to. This is really, our culture is a celebrity, fame, money, rich, famous culture. And little respect is given to intellectual activity, whether scientific or otherwise. And the American people are told to respect money. And the images of the rich and famous are flashed by us by way of television, computers, and the movie screen on a constant basis. And we are told that wealth, celebrity, and fame are what we should look up to. That is the rich and famous. I don't believe this is a valid lodestar. It's not a valid way of thinking. It's a mistaken way of thinking. And in the early 20th century, for example, Albert Schweitzer, a Christian humanitarian, left his post in France as a theologian and expert on Bach to serve for no money reward African natives in what was then French Africa. He did so because of his Christian commitment to alleviate suffering. It is possible in today's world he would be ignored and the public eye would be focused on Mayor Bloomberg and Donald Trump and the rich and well-to-do people, the celebrities. We would not be concerned in our society with a humble doctor saving lives, a farmer raising food for the world, or a lawyer bringing some form of justice to his clients. We are not concerned, it appears, with a doctor like Schweitzer, who spent his life curing and helping African natives suffering from all kinds of diseases. We do not raise up a farmer raising food for the world or a lawyer bringing justice to his clients. We don't talk about those people. For every celebrity and every one of the rich and famous whose images appear on television and newspapers, for every one of these celebrities, for the rich and famous people whose images are pushed on us on television and newspapers and magazines, there is a mission post throughout the world in which believing Christians render free medical care and establish free schooling for persons too poor to get the help they need. One can conclude that merely being rich and famous doesn't mean a great deal. In fact, it means absolutely nothing, other than that person has a easier, more favorable life. For every celebrity, as I said, for every rich and famous person whose images appear on People magazine, on television, and newspapers, there is a mission post throughout the world which believing Christians render free medical care, establish free schooling for persons too poor to get that help. So I have to say that American culture, which elevates fame, money, and riches, is really quite a poor culture. There's no respect in America for a great writer who earns no money. There's a great respect for sports figures and actors and actresses who do. So you might say that American culture, which elevates fame, money, and riches, is a very poor culture. And there's little respect in America for a great writer who earns little money, and great respect for sports figures and actors and actresses who do. In American society, financial success is the benchmark. Or you might even say, I would have to say, that how you dress seems to be the main point. So, in my opinion, after what I've reviewed for you, ladies and gentlemen, American culture is shallow and deficient in its meaning and thrust. Culture should be defined by artistic, intellectual, scientific, and literary contribution, and not by wealth and appearance, looks, or the images of success that the media impose on the American public and propagandize into believing to be the truth. So, yes, I think American culture and its concern with money, fame, and material goods is shallow and deficient. And I think that culture, if you were going to have a culture, it should be defined by artistic, intellectual, scientific, and literary work and contribution, and not by wealth or the appearance or looks that the media impose the American culture and propagandize all of us into believing its validity and truth. So let's end this little talk by this statement. In the 4th century A.D., wealthy people went into the desert of Egypt to find Christ. In today's world, people seek to find what they wish and define themselves in their Lexus or their house in the Hampton, or their penthouse on Park Avenue. And so it remains to be seen where the truth lies. Yes, in the 4th century A.D., that's what people did. They went into the desert to find Jesus. Today, people seek to find what they define themselves as in happiness in their new car, in their house in the Hamptons, or their penthouse on Park Avenue. And so, my dear friends, it remains to be seen where the real truth lies. One may only say that a Galilean penniless peasant, 2,000 years ago, found a movement known as the Church and Christianity that is followed by 2 billion people today. That's the fact. And not the car, and not the penthouse, and not the house in the Hamptons. People went into the desert of Egypt to find Christ, and one may only say that a Galilean peasant 2,000 years ago founded a movement that is followed by 2 billion people today. And one has to ask oneself whether the wealth and success that American pop culture idolizes will last beyond the deaths of those persons who have presented us in their lifetimes images that are fictional, false, and have no truth. Again, I say one may wonder whether the wealth and success that American pop culture idolizes will last beyond the deaths of those persons who have presented themselves in these images that are fictional and false. You can find this talk in Chapter 44 of my book entitled The Word American Culture and Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. And let me just stop and give you a little background about myself, which I usually do on this show. Some people may know me, some don't. And I'm always anxious, I'm glad that people might be interested in knowing me, because I have a great interest in knowing most people and listening to them and dialoguing with them and finding out about them. Whether Muslim, whether Hindu, whether Buddhist, whatever they are, I'm willing to talk and dialogue and understand what they're doing, what they're saying, and what they have to offer me. This is a politically incorrect show. We're not concerned with political rhetoric, political hype, media lies, falsehoods, or anything like that, or critical. We're interested in critical thinking. We're interested in honest discernment and intellectual honesty, and we are interested in getting at the truth and facts in this show. It's a politically incorrect show. We're trying to get at the facts and the truth, and we will take the consequences in our society of being criticized for merely telling the truth. However, the second point here is that this is a Christian show. I'm a Christian. I'm not about to change that position. I've been that since I was 12 years old, and I was baptized in 1948, and I have been taking that position my entire life. I'm not changing it. This position entails adhering to Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It involves adhering to the creeds of the Church, Athanasian Apostles, and Nicene Creed, and it involves reading the kind of books that are going to inform you and raise you, whether the Epistles of Paul, the greatest religious thinker that has ever lived, or Augustine's Confessions, or St. Thomas Aquinas, or Bonhoeffer, Calvin and Luther, or T.S. Eliot, or G.K. Chesterton, or C.S. Lewis. Any of these people will raise me up in their thinking, and these are the books that I want to read, and I want to know, particularly John Milton's Paradise Lost, where this great, great poet, while blind, wrote 3 epic poems, 3 great poems, Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained, and Samson Agonistes. He wrote them while blind, and Paradise Lost is a very insightful piece of work because Milton believed the cosmic event in human history was the fall of man into sin, and it is obvious there is a significant problem in that respect of evil and wickedness in our society, and that book, that Paradise Lost, his analysis of sin and our falling into sin is a great insight. Read it, look at it, understand this great poet, this great mind. Don't waste your time on People Magazine and the New York Post. which will tell you and inform you of nothing, but make fools of you, essentially, if you want to be manipulated. I don't want to be manipulated by the New York Times. I don't want to be manipulated by the New York Post. I want to find the truth in Milton's Paradise Lost. That's what I want to know. As Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, he said, these are images that we see. They're phony images. They're false images. And they are drugs, these images that we see on television. They are drugs. We are passive receptacles to these drugs. And they make fools of us if we watch them and listen to them and pay attention to them. Next, I would have to say that I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. These shows have a wide international audience and many, many people from all over the world. They're Christian shows, but many, many non-Christians listen to these shows. People from Saudi Arabia listen to the blog talk radio show, and people from all over the world listen to these shows, Christians and non-Christians. They're interested because they're interested in getting at truth and facts. These are intelligent people. Intelligent people are interested in getting at the facts and getting at the truth. Frankly, people who lack intellect, they will drag our entire society down to zero if permitted to run things in accord with the propaganda that that is put upon them. Next, I have I'm an author. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. The Christian books I've written are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables as well as a book on the Psalms. I am very, very much anxious to read the parables because they represent the mind and thinking of Christ, and Christ is God. That's my opinion. I'm not changing it. That's what the claim he makes. That's what he says. And every word that Jesus says, we have to focus on and try to grasp and understand, if you can understand it, what he's saying. And then the Psalms are a inspiring Hebrew lyric poetry, Jewish lyric poetry. They are inexhaustible in their richness and beauty, and I read them every day because they feed my mind with validity and truth, and that's about it. I urge you read the Psalms. In the Psalms, you hear the voice of God in Christ crying out to you in beautiful lyric form. Next, I have written over 900 blogs, and they're available on academia.edu, and they are available on my website. And these Psalms are literary, philosophical, theological, and current events in politics. And I'm forming these Psalms into three books, literary, philosophical, and theological books, soon to be published, very soon. I have completed one of them. I'm working on the other two. I have to note that I am preparing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm preparing a book, an analysis of the book of Job, one of the great, great books in the Bible. Job was an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish, but it is a great book in which we come to understand God and his relation to Job, who had trials and tribulations set upon him. And we can try to understand from this book what was going on at that time. I'm writing a book on the law book, pretrial motions and criminal law. I'm writing that book. I partially completed two chapters, and I'm writing other books, as I mentioned. I've written three major articles on the Syracuse Law Review, which has been bought by the United States Supreme Court on criminal procedure, and two articles in an Albanian scientific journal called Academicus on the educational system of the U.S. and its failure, and on sexual orientation discrimination. I oppose discrimination in every form as a Christian. It's a form of hate. I may disagree with these persons' behavior and lifestyle, but I do not believe they should be persecuted or damaged or hurt. And those two articles of the Albanian Academic Journal, Scientific Journal, have been bought by the State Department, and all three of these articles have been bought by many, many universities throughout the world. So that's about what I have to say about my current activities, ladies and gentlemen. I'm working constantly. I believe that print will always be the primary form of thought and communication, and our society will sink into darkness if we become addicts of the screen, television, movies, computers. If that happens, we will be thrust down into darkness, into the kingdom of darkness. And frankly, in that kingdom, Satan will reign with his evil and wickedness, which he wishes he can easily impose on people who are in darkness themselves and don't know what's going on. The result of a non-print society, the result will be destruction and ignorance and darkness. I'm not looking forward to it, ladies and gentlemen, and I warn you, if this happens, we will fall even farther down than we presently are. So I hope you've enjoyed this show, and I'll be talking again tomorrow night on another topic. I hope you've enjoyed it. Night.